Carolina Snowflake. Carolina Snowflake. Carolina Snowflake.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Jason. I'm Jason. And we're back with another episode of the Carolina Snowflakes podcast. We are your hosts.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Jason. And this week is a very special week for the Carolina Snowflakes podcast because we're doing a reverse snowflaking.
Reverse?
Yeah, this week our dear co-host Amanda has come to us with a story. And from what I understand, it's about camping?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's about camping.
I don't really know what it's going to be about, but apparently it's going to be about camping of some kind.
Yes.
And so I'm very excited to hear the story she has prepared for us this week. So I'm going to step out of the way and allow her to tell us a story.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Yes, it is about camping, but it's also about a lot more.
A lot more.
A lot. Camping and so much more.
Maybe that's the title.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
I thought that it might be interesting to talk about some recent events happening a little bit closer to home.
Recent as in?
As in the last month.
Oh, so super recent.
Yeah. In fact, what we're going to be talking about happened just last month in February and just a few miles from where we live.
Ooh, topical. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So get a snack.
Yeah, pull up a chair.
Get a tasty beverage.
Yeah.
And tuck in. So, on February 16th, 2024, the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services published the following press release regarding an investigation at a wilderness therapy camp for troubled youth located in Transylvania County, North Carolina.
Okay, first question. Transylvania, yes. Are they vampires?
Maybe.
Is that the trouble that the youth are in?
Possibly.
They're sucking blood. I am a troubled youth.
No, it gets a lot worse than that.
Oh, okay, great.
So here's the press release put out by the state.
Okay.
Quote, the Transylvania County Department of Social Services and Sheriff's Office, along with staff from the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services, have been conducting investigations of Trails, Carolina, following the death of a child on February 3rd, 2024.
Ooh.
The decision has been made to remove all children from the care of Trails Carolina, and all new admissions are suspended. While the investigation is ongoing, and we cannot comment on specific details, it was determined that action needed to be taken to ensure the health and safety of the children. Parents have been notified and children will be temporarily taken into care of Transylvania County DSS. The death at Trails Carolina is tragic and concerning. We extend our deepest sympathies to the family and loved ones of the child who died and commit to them that we are conducting a thorough investigation with our county partners and will take every appropriate step based on the outcome of our and other investigations.
Okay. First of all, there was way too many words there.
Well, it was a press release.
Yeah, so right off the bat, They could have cut down on a lot of those words. Second of all, how young are these kids are we talking about?
Trails Carolina Camp hosts children between the ages of 10 to 17.
Wow. So some teenager presumably died.
Mm-hmm. He was 12.
At a camp?
A tween.
At a troubled tween,
troubled tween camp.
Camp, okay, yes. Okay.
Yep.
Wow,
happened.
Did he get shot or like did a hunter mistake? Like, was it a Dick Cheney scenario where a hunter thought this motherfucker was a duck?
That's messed up. No.
Okay.
No.
I assume we're gonna get into it.
We will get into it.
I assume we're gonna get into it. Okay.
Yeah.
So some kid got Dick Cheney'd and died. That's where
we are so far. Yes.
All right.
But there's more.
All right.
So now I want to back up just a little bit to give a little context here.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to need some.
Yeah. Okay. On February 4th, I saw a news headline that said something along the lines of child dies at wilderness therapy camp in North Carolina, and it immediately piqued my interest, in part because you and I had about 2 weeks prior watched a documentary on Netflix called Hell Camp Teen Nightmare.
Remember that? What a story.
The Hell Camp documentary tells the stories of survivors of a teen wilderness camp called the Challenger Foundation, which was started in the late 80s by an asshole named Steve Cardozano. As a destination for parents to send their troubled teens for behavioral rehabilitation. The foundation promised parents that their children would return home new people, compliant, polite kids who would be easy to manage.
Just like, why not put them in the military? I don't understand. Like, you're basically doing the same thing. You might as well just throw them in the fucking military. At least then they're going to be getting rich instead of costing you money.
Do you get rich from the military?
I mean, well, you know what I mean. If you do your 20, you're good, right?
Theoretically, yeah, you'll get paid.
Yeah, you'll get paid is what I'm saying. Richer than you would be paying money. I mean, like, negative money instead of positive money. I'm just saying.
Speaking of money, in the late 80s, the price tag for this makeover was right around $16,000, and thanks to a handful of positive testimonials, the camp attracted a wide swath of wealthy parents more than willing to shell out the cash and their children, including the Winthrop Rockefeller family of Arkansas.
Yeah, those rich fucking people, they got all the money in the world, and they just send their kids off to, like, shit camp.
Throw money at it.
It's hilarious. And like I said, you could join the military, and then instead of being negative $16,000, you're positive money. I mean, that's rich by comparison, was my point.
If we're speaking solely about money.
Yes.
Yes, just the finances.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
I mean, the military's going to do the same thing.
During the first year of operations, the foundation grossed $3.2 million.
Wow.
Yeah. So that camp made over $3
million. Oh, okay. So, I mean, yeah, they're making pretty good money.
You remember the wife of asshole Steve, and she was all like, we had a big house, but it was needed. And then...
Yeah, and they paid for... Yeah, it was all paid for with the, like, blood of rich people's kids.
She was disgusting, too. But anyway... So, with parental consent, the program would surprise misbehaving teens at their homes in the dead of night and take them to a wilderness camp in southern Utah, where they would endure 63 days or more, depending on their compliance, in the desert on a 500-mile hike in order to break them down physically and psychologically.
It has kind of a Dr. Phil, like, I'm going to send your child to boot camp where they're going to learn some respect. Mm-hmm. It has kind of that vibe to it.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you remember, especially in the 90s, all of those daytime talk shows, like the, was it Montel Williams and the, and Donahue and Sally Jesse, they had all the time, it was, troubled teens or teenagers out of control.
I honestly believe that's part of the reason I never wanted kids, is because I watched a bunch of that daytime TV bullshit when I was a teenager, and I was like, God, having kids fucking sucks. You got to spend a bunch of money to send them to shit camp. It's a whole thing.
Thanks, Sally Jesse.
Yeah. So, yeah, because of Sally Jesse, I decided not to breathe.
Yeah. Great. Along the 500-mile trek, they slept on the ground, pulled hand carts through rocky terrain, and had to skin and cook animals to eat.
Well, that's not really for everybody. I mean, there are probably some kids who get something out of that.
Yeah,
but
Bear Grylls' kid. Yeah. Like, this is great.
I have a feeling like there is a percentage of kids who that's probably a good experience for, but I don't think that carries over. I think that's only for a very small percentage.
Only a few.
Yeah, and the rest are like, it's PTSD traumatizing.
The kids had no privacy or bathrooms. And were punished if they complained.
Wait. They had no bathroom, so they just had to, like, piss and shit out in the woods?
You watched the documentary. Yeah. They had to dig a hole in the desert and do their business in it.
Now, if you were trans, how would that work?
Well, I don't know.
I guess it's just fine. Everybody,
goes in the same hole in the desert.
They at least solved the transgendered bathroom problem.
Just send everybody out to the desert.
Dig a hole and shit in the
days.
Hole.
It'll be fixed. Problem solved. These punishments included packing rocks in campers' backpacks to weigh them down and restraining campers by binding them at their hands and feet.
Oh, great.
Isolated in the desert of Utah, the children were under the supervision of Challenger camp staff who were adults with no training or education in the fields of childhood development, psychology, or really anything that might qualify someone to treat children with, quote, behavioral problems.
Yeah, that's exactly who you want in charge of a bunch of kids in the middle of the desert.
Right.
I don't see how this could go wrong at all.
Plus, there was really no litmus for what problems the children in attendance might have.
Right.
Kids were sent to the camp by their parents for everything from having bad grades at school, to drug use, to getting arrested for seriously violent crimes. So there they were, teenagers with a spectrum of alleged behavioral problems who had been ostensibly kidnapped by strangers in the middle of the night, all thrust together in an isolated desert being led by adults who didn't have the vaguest idea what they were doing.
Yeah, that sounds perfect.
What could go wrong?
No problems at all. I'm liking
fine.
It so far. Yeah.
Needless to say, it wasn't long before the Challenger Foundation and Steve Cardozano caught the attention of local law enforcement and the allegations of child abuse began coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
Then, in 1990, a 16-year-old camper named Kristen Chase died at the Utah camp after suffering heat stroke from being forced to hike in the summer heat of the desert.
Yeah, I remember that. It has like a religious tone to it too, for some reason. Like
it does.
I know that they're not like strictly like a Christian foundation, but it does have like religious vibes. They like want them to pray and stuff.
Also, the use of restraints in a lot of these camps,
mm-hmm.
that ties into some of the kind of crazier Christian practices of like exorcisms.
Yeah, and for all we know, some of these kids got sent there just for like being gay. Like, I'm sure that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That
was what made it so terrible, is that these kids were there with other children who might actually be criminals.
Yeah.
Or might not.
Yeah, so one's like little Billy's there, and like he's a psycho that like collects knives. He's like a knife catalog kid, you know what I mean? The kind of kids who just carry it around knife catalogs and like start fires. Like, he's there next to some kid who just like... is a rich kid who like his
made
parents
a D
are,
in PE.
Yeah, and his parents are super religious and think like that he's got the devil in him or something.
Or something, yes.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
Kristen's death drew national attention and a slew of civil lawsuits were filed against Steve Cardozano and the Challenger Foundation. Cardozano was also charged with negligent homicide and several counts of child abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Cardozano settled all the lawsuits out of court. And in 1992, he was acquitted of the homicide and the abuse charges.
Yeah, I remember that.
The Challenger Foundation went on to file bankruptcy, and Cardozano was officially banned from owning or operating any child therapy programs in the state of Utah. That didn't stop him, however. Cardozano would go on to create similar programs in Hawaii, Costa Rica, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands. None of these camps were ever licensed, and they all left a wake of unpaid bills and scarred children.
Yeah, and weren't they like going on boats? It had like a kind of a Scientology vibe.
He kind of was working the maritime laws.
Yeah, it's kind of
down around the islands and stuff. Yeah.
Well, you know, L. Ron Hubbard had the same general idea. Like, if I'm on a boat, maybe I could fucking get away with
shit.
But
put them all on a boat, then they can't hold me responsible.
Yeah. Sea law. Yarr.
Now, Steve Cardozano and the Challenger Foundation are not directly connected to the Trails Carolina Wilderness Camp, where a child died on February 3rd.
Okay.
But they do represent the type of program and leadership that one might find at Trails Carolina. And I think it's important to keep in mind as we continue the story.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is from the Trails Carolina website. I went and checked it out. Their website states, Trails Carolina is a wilderness program dedicated to helping teens work through their behavioral or emotional difficulties, build trusting relationships with their family and peers, and achieve academic success.
Whoa, why is that in there?
Which part?
The academic success. That's super weird.
Because it's a boarding school.
Yeah, so it's basically like, is your kid shitty? Is your kid, you know, like, committing crimes and or a criminal? Or just, you know, not getting good enough grades? Like, I feel like that's such a huge spectrum. And, like,
there's people who send their children to these camps for bad grades.
That's wild. Wild. I'm going to send you to a torture camp. Shit camp, as I've been calling it, because you got bad grades.
Yep.
Oh, man, that's wild.
Mm-hmm. The program is designed for children aged 10 to 17, and they pitched the camp to parents by saying, quote, "We believe that by connecting with nature in a wilderness therapy setting, your child can learn to address their unhealthy behaviors, gain valuable personal insights, and learn important lessons. Free from the distractions and negative influences of everyday life, they can focus on their own personal growth and healing process."
Oh, that psychobabble shit, man. I also, like, hold on. So they're basically like, did you not instill good shit into your kids? Did you fuck up and just, like, didn't pay enough attention to them?
Did you make a dud?
Pay us and we'll make them slightly less shitty. That's kind of what it's...
Yes.
Basically saying, like, what? Yeah. What a, oh man, what a yes. wild thing.
Correct.
It's just wild that even exists, but.
Oh, it exists.
And not only that, but people die there, because why not? Why? Which I think some of the parents, that's what they want the whole time. I really do. They're just like, either like, get rid of them or just kill them or whatever, and that way I don't have to deal with it.
I mean, I'm not going to correct you and say that can't be true.
Yeah.
Psychologically possible.
Yeah, I mean, our last episode's about G. Gordon Liddy. Apparently there are people who have kids knowing some of them are gonna suck and they don't really care if they die.
Mm-hmm.
That's, oh man, it's wild.
They then pitch the residential aspect of the program by saying, "Located amid the tranquil natural beauty of North Carolina, our residential treatment center creates a supportive environment for adolescents and teens to heal by removing distractions such as technology, temptations of daily life, and negative influences. Additionally, our treatment program operates within an intentional transition model that offers students ample opportunities to practice using their newly learned coping mechanisms, self-regulating techniques, and communication skills in a structured environment and in response to a variety of situations. This practice helps ease the transition as our students complete our program and return home."
Wow. I don't even really know what that means. It's like they're going to go through some shit. They're going to be in weird situations. That's like really all that's saying.
Uh-huh.
Well, the same kind of shit that would happen if they went camping or went to school.
You're going to see some shit, kid.
Yeah, you're going to see some shit. Some
like
other
that little,
fucked up
like
kids.
That little four-year-old that got lost in the woods, the redhead.
Oh, man, yeah.
And then his little face when they found him. And
yeah.
That kid saw some shit.
Yeah, yeah. It was like a kid who like went missing and was in the woods for like 2 days and they found him alive. That photo of him, he looked like fucking he'd seen a ghost, because he probably did.
He was in the woods for like 3 days.
Yeah, I remember that.
Poor little kid.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay.
So they're basically like, you're going to, like the selling point is it's going to be some shit.
Yes, but they word it so nicely.
Yeah, well, I mean, kind of, but it also doesn't really, like, I don't know. I can hear that kind of speech and be like, so you're just like not saying anything. Like, being non-specific like that.
Well, the intentional transition model is something they harp on quite a bit.
Okay.
On the Trails Carolina website.
As opposed to an unintentional transition? Oops, I accidentally fucking went and transitioned.
Whoopsies.
Goddamn. Hate it when that happens.
Basically, children in the camp are toggled back and forth between what they call expeditions and base camps.
Oh.
And this back and forth consists of camping in the woods for a couple of weeks, followed by a return to base camp where the kids will do things like schoolwork, horse therapy, and yoga.
Okay. Schoolwork, horse therapy, and yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And in both settings, the kids are presented with various challenges meant to, for a lack of a better term, trigger the children, causing them to become upset and feel discomfort. Of course, the Trails Carolina website doesn't elaborate on what these triggering situations might be.
Okay.
But from other similar programs, like the Challenger Foundation, for example, it's not far-fetched to assume they're physically and psychologically fucked.
Yeah, it just like abuse them.
Yes.
I mean, that's basically, I mean, we're gonna trigger you on purpose. It's not like, wow. Okay, it's like Fear Factor.
Kind of.
Yeah, we're gonna pour bugs on you and whatever. I also, what is the American fascination with horses being able to fix problems? Like, I feel like that's an American thing. We're like horses are the trick. Horses are the ticket.
That'll do it.
That's why ivermectin was so popular. It was a horse paste.
That's true.
We were just obsessed with horses solving problems.
It wasn't even the paste. It was really the horse therapy.
Yeah, it was the horse therapy. Mm. Yeah, it's a weird thing we have. It's an American obsession.
One thing that I noticed about the Trails Carolina website is how everything is very carefully and intentionally worded.
Yeah, I can tell.
You really have to read between the lines and do so while keeping in mind that these sorts of teen behavior camps are operated by for-profit companies and have been accused of committing horrific accounts of abuse, assault, and even murder for decades.
Yeah.
You can't just take it at face value.
Yeah, and it seems like there's like a lot of legalese type talk. Like they're covering their ass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when the Trails Carolina website says that they have licensed therapeutic professionals on staff, which is what the website actually says, what they're really saying is they have a licensed social worker or therapist on staff who checks in from time to time.
Yeah.
And who makes weekly phone calls to parents to provide updates. But that person is not there holding Junior's hand 24/7.
Hell no.
Instead, Junior's hand is being held by a college student with no licensure who has maybe had CPR training and was lectured on the rules regarding restraints. Basically, don't choke them until they die, just choke them until they comply.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I like the little rhyme there. I mean, that makes it easy to remember.
It's kind of... I'm pretty sure that's their mantra.
I mean, I've been in that situation. You're choking a kid. And you're like, wait, how much do I choke this kid?
And then, no, that's not funny.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's not funny. You've never done that.
No, I know. I don't have kids.
Right. Well, not anymore. Oh, God, we went dark. That was dark. In fact, shortly after the death of the child on February 3rd, a former Trails Carolina employee stepped forward and said he was fired for questioning the camp's use of physical restraints, and he was shocked by the lack of licensed professionals available to help the children on site. He elaborated further, saying that there were weeks where the licensed therapist wouldn't show up for sessions or check-ins and instead sent her assistant, who held no credentials at all.
Oh, okay, great.
And I went and I found him on Facebook.
Oh,
and
did
sure
you? Wow.
Enough, he put a post up and I'm going to read it.
Oh,
and this
sweet.
Is what he had to say. I'm starting to lose count for how many times I've been quoted about the inadequacies of this company and this industry, referring to Trails Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I still feel more guilt than pride for the time that I worked here. Trails Management, I hope you never have a full night's sleep ever again.
Huh.
You deserve worse. Also, if I die or disappear unexpectedly, I'm about 50% sure that I'll be gooned by some guys with a $1 billion interest in keeping the truth from being told.
Gooned, huh?
That's what they call it when they scoop up the kids in the middle of the night. They call it gooning.
Oh, wow. Okay. So he pulled like a John McAfee and it's like, if I die, it was a fucking hit.
Well, I'm like, that's a little bit of exaggeration. But then he had comments on his post
because
it was public. And three of those comments were from current staff members of Trails who were telling him to basically shut the fuck up.
Oh, of course they are.
And wow.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
He clapped back at him, though.
Like, yeah, no, that was pretty hardcore.
One of them was like, John, you're just mad because you got fired for stealing s'mores from a kid. you bully.
That's good. Yeah, okay. So he got fired for stealing s'mores.
Allegedly.
Huh? Uh-huh.
Well, he clapped back to that one, to her, and he was like, He was like, yeah, well, at least a kid didn't die on my watch, Samantha.
Bam.
I was like, ooh.
Wow, yeah. I mean, it's hard to, it's kind of hard to make jokes because there's a dead kid, but I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah, Facebook is all a flurry with this. There's lots of posts from former campers and parents,
yeah, sure,
and people just saying.
I bet it's a shit show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like the Challenger Foundation and other teen behavior camps, Trails Carolina caters to a more affluent crowd.
Yeah.
None of the services or treatments provided are covered by health insurance, and instead parents must pay for it all out of pocket.
Oh, I'm so glad I grew up poor. I could misbehave and not get sit to one of these places.
I was way too poor for this.
That's awesome.
The average length of stay is approximately 85 days, and the cost on average is around $715 a day.
Whoa!
Though prices go as high as $1,000 per day, depending on the needs of the child and any additional services provided.
Holy hell.
The camp requires an upfront deposit to cover the first 42 days, and also charges a non-refundable $4,900 fee for enrollment.
Well, the Carolina Snowflakes are going to be opening up a troubled teen camp here in the mountains.
Yeah, I got into the wrong business.
Yeah, $750 a day? All we need is one.
In total, the parents of a child sent to Trails Carolina will spend between $65,000 and $90,000 for an average length of stay.
Well, I mean, we've got four cats, and I mean, we keep them alive.
Yeah, we got five cats.
We have five cats. I have so many cats, I lost track of how many cats we have.
So many of them.
And none of them have died. So, like,
send us your kids.
That's basically the equivalent of one teenager.
I really want the IRS to understand that.
Yeah.
Every time I file taxes, I'm like, can't I add the cats and count it as one dependent?
$1,000 a day?
Up to, yeah.
What the fuck are they doing?
Making bank is what they're doing.
Oh, my God.
It's for profit.
That's so crazy.
And like the Challenger Foundation and Steve Cardozano, the people at the helm of operations at Trails Carolina have behaved recently in ways that suggest they believe they are above the law.
Yeah, yeah. Rich people.
Uh-huh. On the morning of Saturday, February 3rd, the Transylvania County Sheriff's Department responded to a call from Trails Carolina stating that a child was unresponsive. When first responders arrived, they found a 12-year-old boy dead on the floor inside a cabin.
Oh.
Initial reports stated the staff of Trails Carolina were uncooperative with law enforcement, and an initial examination by a forensic pathologist resulted in the boy's death being deemed suspicious.
This
led to the execution of two search warrants, the contents of which have recently been released. According to the warrants, the boy was found by law enforcement lying on a mat on the floor of a bunkhouse. His body was in rigor mortis and was cold to the touch. He was on his back with his arms on his chest and his knees bent upwards. He was wearing a t-shirt and a hoodie, but his pants and underwear were lying on the floor next to his shoulder.
Whoa. What the fuck? So he was, like, murdered?
Well, they're going to find out. They're investigating.
They're investigating because they think it could be murder?
Mm-hmm.
So this is different than the kid dying in the mountains at Utah where they died from heat stroke. Because if I remember in that documentary, no one was alleging that kid was murdered but died from exposure.
Well, when it's a minor and they're being forced to do a physical activity,
yeah, I mean,
the charges that were brought against Cardozano
is kind of
was murder.
Yeah, I guess that is murder. I don't know. I kind of distinguish it. Anyway, continue. That's crazy.
According to the search warrants, none of the staff interviewed by detectives could explain how his pants and underwear were taken off and ended up next to his shoulder.
Yeah.
The warrants detail an interview with a particular staff member who was assigned to watch the boy. By the way, the boy had just arrived at the camp the day before from New York.
Whoa.
So he wasn't even there 24 hours.
Yeah, so he didn't even like have time to die from like exposure or anything like that.
According to the staff member, the child was combative upon arrival and refused dinner. though he did eventually agree to eat a snack later in the evening. He then began having a panic attack around midnight on the evening of his arrival. The staff member and another colleague reported that they stood along the wall of the cabin and watched him in his fit of panic.
Okay.
According to the warrants, the staff member told detectives that the boy was checked on at 12 a.m., 3 a.m., and 6 a.m. before being found dead at 7:45 a.m.
But then he was cold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, huh.
It ain't adding up.
No, it's not.
It was also reported in the warrants and the corresponding affidavits that detectives were blocked from seeing the other children who were present in the bunkhouse at the time the boy died. Trails Carolina removed the other children and hid them from detectives.
What the fuck?
They wouldn't even provide names or dates of birth.
What?
Trails Carolina staff also blocked social workers who arrived from the Transylvania County Department of Social Services.
Oh, man.
The social workers were eventually provided first names of the children, but nothing else.
Oh, wow.
When the social workers asked where the children were located, staff refused to tell them. Court records show deputies were ultimately able to confiscate notebooks with each of the four other children's names on them.
See, that's really fucked up and weird, though, because, like, I do get that you need to protect minors and that being questioned by police is something that you have to be careful with if you're, you know, dealing with minors, mm-hmm. on the one hand. But on the other hand, this kid is dead, and it feels like the cops should be able to get the parents' permission and question the kids.
Well, they also brought in social workers, and they wouldn't even talk to them.
Yeah, that's crazy, because I feel like in a lot of times with cases like this, the police can get the parents' permission to question the children.
Yep.
Okay.
The police also seized electronic devices and an assortment of other items. While the investigation continued, the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services stepped in and began overseeing day-to-day operations at Trails Carolina. They monitored activities, observed staff members with the children, and were on site all day, every day, to ensure the kids at the camp were safe.
Well, I mean, it's capitalism. We can't shut it down. That'd be crazy.
They also ordered the suspension of all new applications, enrollments, and arrivals.
Oh, okay, but we got to finish these other kids.
Well, the kids were there from all over the country. They couldn't just...
Yeah, kids send them home. That's crazy. Then their parents would have to deal with them.
Yeah, exactly. We can't have that.
That's bullshit.
According to law enforcement, Trails Carolina continued to thwart their investigation attempts by sending pertinent staff members home on leave and refused to provide names and contact information of parents who had children still enrolled at the camp.
Wow.
Like you mentioned, minors can't legally be interviewed during investigations such as this one without parental permission.
Right.
So they intentionally prevented that from happening.
That's wild. Mm-hmm. Oh.
By February 12th, the FBI arrived. Ooh. And they were on the scene at Trails Carolina to assist the county investigators in analyzing the computers, cell phones, and other electronic devices confiscated by detectives.
Oh, so to like somebody text, "Oh, I accidentally fucking killed Billy." We could maybe get that text. Yeah. Okay, cool.
I mean, I guess if you've got those devices, who better to call? I mean, the FBI can...
Yeah, they can do something, maybe.
That's what they can do.
I accidentally unalived him.
Whoopsies.
Yeah. Whoopsie doodle.
What's the emoji for that?
I don't know. I accidentally killed a guy emoji. I don't know what that is.
I don't know. 3 days later, on the 15th of February, the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services officially shut down Trails Carolina by suspending their operating license and removing the remaining children from the camp.
Good.
The following day, Trails Carolina released a statement. Now, this is a long statement. Mm-hmm. It's very wordy. These are some wordy people.
Okay.
But I want you to listen to and pay attention to kind of the general message and the tone that's coming from Trails Carolina.
Before we do that, I just have a quick question. Has anyone talked to Jason Voorhees to see if he had anything to do with
it? It's not Crystal Lake.
Okay. My bad.
No.
He would have been the first one I would have asked.
All right. So this is the statement from the camp.
Okay.
After 5 p.m. on February 15th, DHHS, that's the state, threatened and intimidated parents by demanding parents travel from all over the country to pick up their children, or DHHS would take their children into custody.
Oh, shit.
The children were receiving high-level clinical care for complex mental health diagnoses requiring experienced professionals with full knowledge of critical medications and specialized treatment regimens. Normally, locating alternative programs and matching children for placement takes several weeks. This negligent and reckless move by the state denied parents the opportunity to continue to care for their children in the appropriate manner. 100% of parents did not want their children to leave the program.
What?
The statement then has a little link next to that line where it says, see what parents have to say. We're going to get back to that.
Okay. Wow.
Parents believe the program is safe and do not want their children's treatment disrupted by the state, which has continued to make reckless decisions based on false and misleading information from the Transylvania County Sheriff's Office.
What the?
Local, experienced, and knowledgeable DSS social workers on site have indicated in written reports and conversations with program staff that kids are safe, properly supervised, and at no risk of harm. Previously undisclosed by the sheriff was the illegal and unauthorized removal of four young boys aged 10 to 12 on the evening of February 6th. The boys were detained at the sheriff's office until 1 a.m. Parents called the sheriff to prevent the infliction of further trauma on the boys, who had not yet been informed of the tragedy. Parents were lied to, as the sheriff stated he did not have custody of the children and the children were not on the premises.
What the hell? So they're just like mad at the state?
And the sheriff.
For shutting us down?
We grieve with the family of the student who tragically passed and have promised to do everything we can to determine what happened. Based upon preliminary findings by state agencies, internal investigation, information, and conversation with officials, staff, and known experts, everything points to an accidental death. The Transylvania County Sheriff's Office has maintained a biased approach in what appears to be an attempt to close a program that has successfully treated and helped restore and heal more than 2,700 families. The impact of the state's reckless actions is far-reaching. The 18 vulnerable children forced to leave a safe healing space against their parents' wishes have suffered permanent, serious, and unnecessary harm. There are limited places where parents can turn to find the necessary care for severe mental health diagnoses and complex treatment. This is a tragic and unnecessary loss for parents, children, and 75-plus staff members who have poured their heart and soul into helping kids. The sheriff and DHHS likely did not have the evidence to close the program and take its license through appropriate and generally accepted judicial review. Calling and intimidating parents to pick up their children was an attempt to achieve their nefarious goal while avoiding fair and appropriate due process with full factual disclosures.
What? What? That is an insane paragraph you just read.
Yeah.
So they're mad that they called in the feds, obviously.
They're mad that the sheriff's office is investigating.
Yeah, they're mad that the sheriff's office is investigating. They're mad they called the feds because that's what gave them the authority to shut shit down. Because, as you said earlier, the sheriff's office and the county cops were investigating.
Mm-hmm.
And the camp was still going, but then they called in the feds, and then the camp got shut down.
Well, they called in the state.
Yeah.
The state came in and shut it down.
Yeah, and what I'm wondering is, like, they want... It's some sovereign citizen shit. They're like, the sheriff should be just investigate this and just decide that it was... not a murder
obviously,
or whatever.
The sheriff should have looked at it and known it was just a whoopsie accidental death.
And because the sheriff was like, I don't know, this seems like we need to investigate.
We have money to make. I mean, we're trying to save children here.
They're mad.
They're mad because it's bad for business and they're losing money.
But it just blows my mind, this idea that the sheriffs are just like out to get them for some reason. If there's anything that I know about like the sheriffs and the cops, they probably support that program. Like the cops aren't out to get you. Like you might as well blame fucking Antifa, you fucking lunatics. Like,
well, yeah, I wanted to read that statement specifically because the tone of it and the way they word it to paint themselves as victims
of the police,
of an unjust system.
Yeah, it sounds
is
so
really disgusting. Yeah. And it also is very telling in the sense that they truly seem to think that they are above the law.
It does seem like they
these
think
people
that
are delusional.
And it's wild because if you imagine if a kid died at like, say, like a Six Flags or something like that, mm-hmm. and they would shut things down to investigate the kid's death, and if they figured out it was an accident.
And what kind of statement would Six Flags put out?
They would be like, I can't believe the cops shut us down for a day and investigate this shit. All these kids came to Six Flags to have a fun ride on these roller coasters.
You ruined everything.
And you deprived them. Some of these kids are now going to have PTSD from you depriving them of riding the roller coasters in our... Like, it's such a crazy way to look at things.
No.
Especially when
it's... Six Flags would put out a statement saying, we are so sorry for...
Someone died.
That this happened. It was never our intentions. We are going to cooperate and investigate alongside officials.
And do everything we can to make sure this never happens again.
Not Trails, Carolina.
Yeah, that's so crazy. That makes them seem so much more suspicious to me.
Yeah.
Wild.
The statement provided by Trails, Carolina contains a link that, when clicked, takes you to a single web page full of email testimonials singing the praises of the program shortly after the death investigation began.
Yeah, and they're clearly written by the real parrots, I'm sure.
They say things like, and I copied this from the webpage, quote, I am so, so sorry for last week's terrible occurrence. My thoughts and prayers have been with the family, staff, transport team, and everyone involved. I cannot imagine the shock, grief, and pain everyone is experiencing. I have been disappointed in the media, in the way they paint premature pictures of this tragedy. I am very upset with the Sheriff's Department for their remarks about others being uncooperative.
What?
Name redacted, and I lift you all up in prayer and know firsthand the important difference you all make in the lives of families like ours.
That's, oh man. Oh.
It was like an old school GeoCities style one single page, and it was just copy paste of what looked like emails, but of course everything was removed from them as far as identifiers.
And anything could be written by anybody. Like, there's no reason for me to believe that any of this is written by the parents at all.
Yeah. So all identifying contact information was removed from these testimonial style emails, and there's, like you said, no way of validating their authenticity.
Yeah.
Staff members or company owners could have easily written the statements themselves.
Yeah, or PR people, you know, that you hire to help you deal with it. Like, anybody could have wrote. I could have wrote that shit.
Yeah.
Like, fucking, yeah, that's ridiculous.
It should be noted that the investigation of the 12-year-old boy's death at Trails, Carolina is still open.
Yeah.
The full autopsy results, including toxicology reports, have not yet been completed or released, and for now it is considered a manslaughter investigation, and it's ongoing.
What if he did like an Into the Wild thing and just ate some of the fucking berries?
Maybe he did, but then they're still responsible because they're the legal guardians of these children while they're there.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I wish that I could say that this was the first and only time something tragic happened at Trails, Carolina.
Oh, boy.
But it's not.
Yeah.
In fact, it's not even the first time a child has died while attending the program.
Wow.
In November 2014, a 17-year-old boy named Alec Lansing walked away from his therapy group while on expedition in the woods. A search for him turned up nothing until his body was discovered 2 weeks later in a shallow creek where he had fallen and died from hypothermia.
Oh.
And by the way, Trails Carolina didn't report him missing for 5 hours after.
Do they not have a fucking buddy system? Like the simplest thing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah. So it took 5 hours for them to report this kid missing.
I'd be putting like bells on him or some shit so I could keep track of him. Something. Bells. Like they do with cows.
That's what we'll do at our camp.
Yeah. Like they do with cows.
Yeah. The program is also currently facing a lawsuit filed in federal court by a former camper who claims Trails Carolina is negligent in not preventing a sexual assault committed by another camper when she was 12 years old.
Oh, yeah, that's dark.
The lawsuit states, quote, despite the facade of providing a safe and therapeutic residential treatment center for children, Trails Carolina has failed to screen and assess the children in its legal custody and creates an environment where troubled children have and do sexually assault other children.
Oh, that. So you're telling me they should change their name to Fails Carolina?
Yeah. 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 It should also be noted that Trails Carolina received 55 citations for deficiencies from North Carolina Health and Human Services spanning from 2010 to 2023. The most recent citation was from June of 2023, and it was for implementing training to staff members on the seclusion, physical restraints, and isolation of children before obtaining approval by state regulators.
Hmm.
Additional inspection reports gathered by the National Youth Rights Association show that Trails Carolina has also received at least a dozen citations for improperly handling and administering medications.
Wow.
Now get this. North Carolina does require these types of camps and therapy places to be licensed in the state, and they also require at least an annual inspection.
Oh, well, you know, once a year.
But, no, well, yeah. But the state halted all inspections at the start of COVID.
These
places weren't inspected until 2023. So 3 years from 2020 until 2023. These places were still operating.
Yeah, I don't understand
that. Still doing
that.
What they do, but no one was checking in on them.
What? I can't even. Okay, sure.
Is that not mind-blowing?
Yeah, well,
can you put it into another can you imagine anything that directly affects our safety, well-being, and our lives not being checked out by the government in some way? Like, what if the FDA just didn't inspect our food for 3 years?
Yeah. I can't. And it's like, even in prison, they check up on it more than this. Like, your kid would be safer in prison.
Yes.
That's what I'm starting to realize.
Yes. Or like, what if the health department didn't go inspect restaurants for 3 years?
Yeah, that's why. And at least in prison, they like at least discourage the kids from sexually assaulting each other.
Yeah, they're like, please don't.
Yeah,
do that.
Jeez, man. Wow.
Yeah. So these places were operating fully for 3 years across the state, including Trails Carolina,
with like just no supervision.
No supervision.
Yeah, I'm not surprised it went bad.
Isn't that crazy?
That's real crazy.
Former camp attendees have also been stepping forward to share their experiences, including a young woman from Chicago whose parents paid to have her whisked away in the middle of the night and taken to Trails Carolina in 2012.
Huh.
In a story published in 2021, the woman described spending weeks in the wilderness of North Carolina without access to showers or other basic hygiene and very little time spent with an actual trained therapist. Instead, most of her time was spent with a group of 8 to 12 other teenagers living in tents in the woods.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's no way that could go bad.
The group was accompanied by 3 unlicensed staff members who were responsible for the teens' day-to-day activities. In addition to weeks spent in the woods, the former participant said staff at Trails Carolina, including the therapists, often sought to change behaviors through negative reinforcements and open ridicule.
Oh, great.
Additional firsthand accounts from former from former camp attendees can easily be found with a simple Google search. Trails Carolina currently has 82 Google reviews with an average rating of 2.3 stars.
Ooh, wow.
Over the last 12 months.
Not doing so great.
I scammed most of the reviews and I noticed they're all pretty similar. Lots of complaints surrounding access to basic hygiene and mistreatment at the hands of staff members.
Wow. Wow. Just send you to a, like, I mean, I call this at the beginning, just a shitty camp. It's just like a shitty version. It's like worse than, it's like a shitty worse than prison. It reminds me of that place in Arizona where that fucking Joe Arpaio guy makes the convicts sleep outside
and they have to wear
in the hot tents and they wear the pink and he just like makes them do labor and like people keep fucking dying and it's not a healthy or good place for anyone to
be. But he has so many fans. People are like, yeah, be like the Joe.
Yeah.
Well, Joe or whatever it is.
Some people are just inherently cruel.
Yeah. In my information gathering for this episode, I did a lot of reading, including reading up on the founder of Trails Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Graham Woodard Shannonhouse.
Okay.
And she's a licensed therapist specializing in the use of outdoor adventure therapy in the practice of psychology.
That shouldn't be a thing.
Well, she founded Trails Carolina in 2008 and served as the executive director until around 2017 when she left to start a new program called Trails Momentum. Trails Momentum is a residential therapy program for 18 to 25-year-olds, and it's also located in western North Carolina, this time in Henderson County.
Wow.
It's located at a former summer camp that has been converted to a residential treatment facility for young adults, and it differs from Trails Carolina in that it serves a slightly older population, and it also is less wilderness-focused.
Hmm.
I discovered that the Trails Momentum website provides zero information on costs, which leads me to believe that it must be so expensive they don't want you to know how much debt you're going to incur until after you sign up.
Yep.
That said, it should come as no surprise that the founder lives in a multi-million dollar home in the Biltmore Forest area of Asheville, North Carolina.
I'm sure she lives near Edge.
Probably.
Wow. It's
probably her neighbor.
Wow. I mean, that would be cool to have Edge be your neighbor, but...
Yeah, but not at the cost of children's safety and well-being.
Wow, this is a nightmare.
I plan to continue following the Trails Carolina investigation, and I'll provide updates as they're available. But I hope what listeners gather from this is, A... the troubled teen / wilderness therapy industry is full of greedy narcissists who give zero shits about the well-being of children.
Yeah, no, they like money.
B, parents who send their children to these programs often have more money than sense and really have no business even being parents.
Right, yeah.
And C, shit apples don't fall far from shit apple trees.
Yep, that is definitely true. The shit apple tree. Wow. Wow. What a story.
Yeah.
Wow. And that happened right down the road from us, basically.
Yes.
Huh.
Isn't that wild?
That's pretty wild. I find the whole thing just so crazy, though, because in a way, I'm like, I mean, it's rich kids. And, I mean, they're kids, so I guess they don't deserve what happens to them. And their parents don't give a shit, so it's really just a bummer all around. Like, there should be a place where you could... send your rich parents to that's like that. if we wanted to fix this, that's what you would have to do.
Wasn't there a movie about that where they locked the parents in the basement and
there should be
and they to like make them behave or something?
I don't know.
Or learn a lesson. I'm pretty sure that was a movie from the 90s.
Okay, well, I have such a hard time wrapping my head around like why you would have kids and then send them to a place like that.
I don't know. I don't know.
I can't.
That was B. That was, you don't even really deserve to be.
Yeah, like, what are you doing? What are you, I wouldn't, I wouldn't send like my pets to a place that had 2.2 reviews. You know, I would like if there was a pet groomer that was near me
or a boarding that had 80 boarding
reviews and the average was 2.2. I'd be like, I'm not gonna
send my cat to this place.
They might cut its fucking ear off or something. You never know. Like, that's wild to me that you would do something like that. And I think.
But these parents are like, here's $80,000.
And this is weird obsession.
Kidnap my kid in the middle of the night.
That somehow, like, being outside and like in the woods is gonna like save them. Like, it's such projection, because I feel like that's what the parents live these lives where they're, you know, making all this money and they're living this corporate grind lifestyle, and like for them being outside at a camp would be like a relief and help them with a lot of their stress and problems, and they just project that onto their children as if a 12-year-old would have the same response as a 40-year-old to being outside and like working hard. And I find that really like crazy that like, so these adults are projecting their own sort of fantasies and desires about like how life should be onto their children.
Well, I think also part of it is that we've done a really piss poor job of teaching people how to take care of their children.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of encountered that a little bit with the pandemic when everything went remote and kids were having to do Zoom school.
Yeah.
And parents just got completely overwhelmed and couldn't handle it anymore.
Wow.
And I think we've somehow raised kind of a group of a generation that's really just shit at taking care of kids.
Yeah. It's...
And so if they have enough money, they ship them away to these places.
Oh, man. And yeah, that's the kind of thing happened to Paris Hilton.
It did. She was sent to a camp like these.
Yeah. Oh, man. Wow. What a just disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I appreciate you doing that episode. That was really interesting. I learned a lot, and
I learned a lot too.
That presentation. So I hope everybody out there enjoyed learning about the twubble tween industry, and I know I did. I appreciate everybody listening. You can find more episodes of the Carolina Snowflakes at carolinasnowflakes.com. We also have email if you have any. Hey, if you went to one of these camps or.
Ooh.
You know someone who did?
Yeah, email us.
Email us at carolinasnowflakes@gmail.com. And we appreciate, love everybody, appreciate you listening. Stay tuned next week. We will probably be, we're going to be continuing on our Republican shitbag series. I got a whole other Republican shitty person to talk about next week. So tune in for that. Thanks for listening.
Bye.